Thanks for joining us for today's message. We encourage you to email us and let us know what God is currently doing in your life. Or if you'd like to support the ministry financially, you can do so here on our website. For now, we hope you enjoy this message. Thanks for tuning in today.
Stay on your feet just for a minute. We're going to make a declaration. I mean, 8:30 service was on fire this morning. I mean, it was amazing. Amen. So hold up your Bibles or your whatever you've got, your devices to read the Word of God and say, "This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. This is God's Word speaking to me. When I hear it today, I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen." We'll go ahead and have a seat. Hallelujah. Well, we want to just welcome everybody online and just thank you for worshiping with us this morning and taking part in the Word of God. And if you are here in Sioux Falls, we'd love to have you visit us. We love people and definitely would well receive you. Like I said, if you are paying attention in the prayer, pastors are out this morning, so I got the call to come in, and they're not feeling 100%, so just keep them in your prayers. You know, they're human beings, just like we are, amen, and they've got to fight the good fight of faith as well, but all is well with them, and they're moving forward. So today's message that I'm going to share with you is actually called The Devil's Playbook, and it's how to beat Satan at his own game. And, you know, I hesitated on sharing this because I don't want to give the devil any place, any credit. He doesn't deserve any of that. Amen? However, we need to learn how he operates, and we need to learn what his playbook is because we have an adversary. We do have an enemy, and again, we need to figure out how it is that he operates. You know, and I put this message together because I see a lot of Christians. This is actually a message this morning for believers. Now, if you're not a believer, if you're not born again, you'll have an opportunity to get saved at the end of service and invite Jesus Christ in your life. But again, this message is for believers. I just see so many believers, and I've been there myself, where we're struggling. And you know, it might be some sort of sin, or maybe it's not a sin, but maybe it's some wrong mindset. You know, it's things like feelings of inadequacy or not measuring up. You know, maybe it's lust or greed or envy or jealousy or pride. You know, it might be rebellion or religion or all these various things. I talk to a lot of people that are depressed and even contemplating suicide, and these are born-again Christians, heaven-bound. But again, we need to understand what the devil's playbook is so that we can overcome it. I talked last week about living in the penthouse, living on the top floor, living a life of victory in every area, in our finances, in our faith, in our relationship. And again, walking above things rather than walking beneath things. So again, that's what we're going to be talking about here today. So John chapter 8 is where we're starting out here. If you'd turn there in your Bibles, and I know I rapid fire scriptures a lot of times, so I'm going to give people time to get there. And I would encourage you too, if you don't bring a journal, start bringing one. You know, Pastor Mike, when he puts messages together, they're timely, right? They're for what the body of Christ, this body needs right now. In the season of life that we're living in. And so throughout the week, you're able to go back and relook at those scriptures and meditate on them and study them throughout the week. In the men's group on Tuesday morning, we simply just go back and go over pastors' messages and read the scriptures and discuss them because, again, that's what's going to change our lives. You know, it's not all the self-help and you know, positive thinking and all that stuff. That stuff's good, but it's getting the Word deposited in your heart. That's what's truly going to transform you. It transformed me. It was 20 years ago this month that I got saved, and I'll tell you what, I've never regretted it one time in all my life. It hasn't been without adversity. It hasn't been without setback, but again, it's been awesome, and I highly recommend it. If you're not saved, you need to get saved today. Amen? So John chapter 8, verse 31 says this. It says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed." So he was talking to believers here. And you're a believer here this morning. This is conditional. It says, "If you abide," and that word abide means to accept or to act in accordance with. So it could be said like this. "If you act in accordance with my word, you are my disciples indeed." So if then. If you act in accordance, if you do my word, then you are my disciples. And kind of the opposite is true. If you don't act out this word and walk out this word, maybe you're not his disciples. Amen? And it says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And that's good news here this morning. But it's not just knowing the truth. It's not just getting in this book and memorizing things and getting a bunch of head knowledge, you know, to show how smart you are. Knowledge puffs up, but wisdom acts things out, right? Wisdom is taking knowledge and putting into action. Really, it's like this. You know, it's not just knowing the truth, but it's walking in the truth that you know. Amen. It's taking action with this. It's applying this truth to our lives and walk it out. Now, when we come to the devil, it seems like there's kind of two schools of thoughts here. There's this school over here that, you know, they're binding everything and everybody. There's a demon behind everything. You know, back in the day, there was a book where, you know, if you wore sunglasses, it was because you had a demon. They're casting things out, and they're kind of, you know, a little bit of charismaniacs. But then you have this other side over here where, you know, they you know, they're just kind of flippant with it, and they don't really believe that there's an enemy or that he doesn't really, you know, have any place in our lives. And I believe that. I mean, I believe that, again, the devil is underneath our feet. Matter of fact, Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, it says this: in this way, he, being Jesus, disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. So here's the deal. This side over here gets kind of charismatic, kind of spiritually crazy and whatnot, but this side over here can get a little bit lazy and they need to wake up. Amen. And we need to recognize and realize that we are in a war. You know, when you get born again, you become a part of the kingdom of God, a part of God's army. You get transplanted out of the world and transplanted into God's kingdom. And again, there's a fight. And you need to know that. You need to know that there is warfare, amen? What does Pastor Mike always say? If the devil can't get to you, who's he after? Your seed. That's exactly right. I think 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, if you turn to that scripture, I think this is a good balanced way of how we're to look at this spiritual warfare. Peter says this, he says, be sober. That means have a sound mind. Just have a sound mind with this. And he says, be vigilant. Amen. That word vigilant means we always need to watch for danger. We need to watch and make sure that there's no danger out there. And we do this because your adversary, you have an adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, when Jesus got baptized and he came up, and then it said the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit came down on him like a dove. It wasn't actually a dove. Okay, the devil doesn't come around as a lion. It says he's like a lion. So he's got a loud roar, but he doesn't have any teeth. Amen? And that's the good news. But again, he's got a loud roar, and so he's going to roar loudly typically in your life. But again, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, so we do have an adversary as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now we're going to start out with the good news here. So it's like, you know, watching a movie, and we're going to watch the end first, and then we're going to come back and see how it is that we get to the end. In Romans chapter 16, verse 20, it says this: the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. May the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. So the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. Now, this is what it's a depiction of. You know, this is kind of military talk here today. We're in a battle, and we're part of God's army, amen? And so this crushing Satan underneath our feet, so when the Roman soldiers, they had sandals that they wore, and they had nails and spikes and things like that beneath their sandals so that they could get traction. So when they fought, you know, they were able to push back the enemy, and they were able to fight against them. But when they marched, they kind of marched, and they took slow, choppy steps like this, and it was like a locomotive. I mean, there was thousands of soldiers. So, you know, it's like a train. You couldn't just stop the train if somebody got out in front of the tracks, just like this. You couldn't just stop this military movement if somebody went out there. You would get trampled over, and at the end of it, you'd be like hamburger. Now, we think of this. Think of Satan here. In other words, it's like this. Satan's going to come across us, and it says the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath our feet. So Satan is crushed. He is hamburger. He is beneath our feet. But again, you have to know the truth, and you have to walk in that truth. Amen? You have to know the authority that you have, and you have to exercise the authority that you got. Amen. Now, here's the deal. You were made to be a winner. You know, you're born again. You're spirit-filled. You're a winner. You're going to heaven at the end of this life. Amen? This is all good news. You know, and Pastor Mike, he wants you to win in life. I want you to win in life. Amen. I mean, I want to win in life, right? A lot of times I feel like I'm like some motivational speaker up here, you know, trying to encourage people up, but I think, okay, what's the difference of a motivational speaker? You know, if you think something, look up the opposite. The opposite is somebody that discourages, dislikes, is dull, and is depressing. So I'll be a motivational speaker if I got to, but I'm going to motivate you with the Word of God. Amen? Amen. I feel like Jeremiah, where it says the Word of God is like fire shut up in his bones. So here's what we're going to learn today. Amen. Three things is what I'm going to teach you. So pay attention, because I'm telling you, this is the key. This is a key where a lot of people are stuck and they're living in prisons in their minds, not a physical prison, but a mind prison. Amen. So the first thing we need to know is we need to know, how does the devil operate? The second is how does he attack people? What is his playbook? We have our playbook here. It's the Bible, and I'm opening up his playbook, and I'm showing you from the Word of God what his playbook is, and you know, then finally we're going to find out how to overcome the attacks of the enemy, how to beat Satan at his own game. I hate to lose. How many people in here love to win? I love to win, but I think I hate to lose even more than that. So again, I'm telling you, we win. That's the good news. And so I just feel like every day we should wake up and have joy and love and peace and just being fired up and ready to take on the day, because we win. Amen? And it's good news. So the devil's playbook, we're going to talk about five different words, or five basic words in the New Testament, that if you understand these five words, you're going to better be able to understand how your adversary, the enemy, operates. So again, if we're in war, we need to find out how our enemy operates. If we're out playing football, we're going to watch tape and film throughout the week. We're going to see what is the enemy's tendencies. So then when we show up to play football, we're going to be able to beat them at their own game. Amen? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. So obviously verse 10 through the end, it's talking about the armor of God and how to put the armor of God on, because again, we're in spiritual warfare. We are in a battle. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Before we get into these words, that term stand against, it's a military term. And it means that there's a united front, and the soldiers literally march together to drive the enemy back. And this is how it works in the spirit realm. You know, we talked a couple weeks ago on Pastor Appreciation Sunday about how God has called Pastor Mike and Pastor Vicky here 40 years ago. It was a call from God. It wasn't that they were looking for a job. There wasn't a board out looking to hire a pastor. No, they were called by God. And they are on the front lines of this army, and we're filling in behind them, and we're to be a united front. Amen? We're to come together in unity. And I said a while back, if one wins, we all win. If one loses, we all lose. So that means we lock arms together, and we push forward, and we're taking ground. You know, it's like Amy talked about, it was city kids, you know, those kids that got healed and saved. That's taking ground from the kingdom of darkness, taking that into the kingdom of light. Amen? But again, recognizing that we've got an adversary. And I'm not trying to tell you, listen, God literally flicked Lucifer out of heaven. I mean, it was flicking him like a bug, but it's just recognizing, you know, that we're up here and he's way down here underneath our feet, but we've got to recognize that. Amen? So the first word we're going to talk about, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This word devil, so it's actually not his name. Satan is his name. And Satan means to slander, which means to make false statements against somebody. Think about that. He's making false statements, lies against somebody, or accuse them, claim someone has done something wrong. That's Satan. That's his name. It was Lucifer. Now it's Satan. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, it says he is the accuser of the brethren. That's what he does. We're the brethren, and he's constantly trying to accuse us. But praise God, we're covered by the blood of Jesus, and when God looks at us, there is no accusations that can be made. Amen? But again, we've got to walk in that. The word devil comes from the Greek word diabolos. Now, stay with me here. I got this from Rick Renner, so there's going to be some Greek in here this morning. But it's a great message. It's this word diabolos is more of a job description, and it describes how Satan operates. Okay, so let's break this down. So the second part, bolos, it's like this. It's repeatedly throwing something like a ball or a rock. So think of having a wall, and you're throwing a ball over and over and over and over and over. It's just repeatedly throwing that ball or that rock. Okay, and then dia means to penetrate all the way through from one side to the other. So here's how we put this together. Satan acts like diabolos. So he takes slander, he takes false statements against you, and he takes accusations claiming that you've done something wrong, and like a rock, he begins slinging them against you over and over and over and over until the mind weakens, and he can penetrate the mind all the way through from one side to the other. That's how Satan operates. He operates as diabolo. Now, myself, none of us in here are so important in the kingdom that Satan himself, he's more territorial, right? He's got, you know, demons and all this stuff that does his bidding, but that's how demons operate. Diabolo. They operate as a devil, throwing that rock, throwing those accusations against you over and over and over. Just keep pounding on you over and over and over, and it happens especially when you're weak. Amen? And then he can attack your mind, and he continues the process here. Whoever controls your mind, they control you. If you control the mind, you can control the emotions. You know, in Thessalonians, we understand this here at your three-part being. Your spirit, you have a soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, and you live in this body. So when your body, you know, is laid to rest, or when Jesus returns, you know, whichever comes first, the spirit and soul either go to live in eternity in heaven with the Father or separated for eternity away from the Father. But again, whoever controls the mind controls the emotions. And again, the mind, will, and emotions are part of the soul. That's why I was explaining that. But the emotions dictate how you project yourself to other people. You ever been around an emotional person? You know, whether somebody's attractive or they're kind of repelling, it's because of what's going on in their mind and then the emotions that they give off from that, and that controls and it dictates their life. And here's the deal. If the devil can take control of your mind and take control of your emotions, then he can take control over your destiny. And he can shut off the very destiny that God has called you to do and to be. The devil simply wants to be in control. And really, God set it all up this way. But he tells us in Romans chapter 12, 2, he says, be not conformed to this world. What's the world? You know, 2 Corinthians 4, 4, it says, the God, the little g God of this world, has blinded the minds of those that believe not. The world is the world system. The world has a financial system. It has a relational system. It has various systems. But he says, be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So again, God set it up. You know, you've got a brain and it's got your mind, will, and emotions in there. And again, it's like programming, right? The brain is the hardware, but the software is your mind, will, and emotions. And we get programmed by the world, and we've got to reprogram ourselves with the Word of God, with the truth, and that's how we get set free. Because see, we all have voices speaking to us at all times. Amen? You're either going to hear the voice of God, the voice of truth, and how do you hear that? His chosen method of operation is through His Word. You don't have to travel around and look for a prophet and look for a word from God. Hey, that's all good and dandy, but He wants to spend time with you. The Father wants to spend time with you and speak to you directly through His Word. Amen? He speaks to you in church. That's why you're planted here this morning, and you have a pastor, Pastor Mike, that's in your life that prepares messages from God to speak into your life that, so that then we can go out in the marketplace and we can be the hands and feet of Jesus and we can live in victory. He speaks to us through other believers. That's why it's so important, again, to walk in unity. You know, I know people that say, oh, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, and it's true. It's absolutely true. I mean, coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. However, I typically see people that aren't consistent in church, they get flaky, fruity, and weird. I'm just saying it for what it is, amen? And I watched that video, you know, that had on pastor appreciation. I just keep coming back to that simple thing. I watched you that have been here for 20 plus years and how consistent you've been. You've showed up over and over and over, whether you wanted to or not, you through adversity and all that stuff, but you've been consistent. It hasn't been perfect, but again, you're still here, amen? Say, I'm still here, and that's what we want. The devil's also speaking to us. He could speak to us through a life experience. You know, we've had some life experiences in our life, you know, where he tries to speak to us through that. You know, it could be through somebody you look up to, a teacher, a coach, you know, a parent, you know, somebody, again, a relative or somebody like that, that you've got these things floating around in your mind, and it's just like the enemy to bring somebody into your life to confirm the things that you're already thinking, but those things are contrary to this word. They're lies. Amen? So the first word is devil. Again, diabolos, it's where he's throwing that rock to try to wear you down and penetrate your mind. The second word is wiles. It's in that same scripture, to stand against the wiles of the devil. And that word wiles in the dictionary, it means cunning, crafty, subtle, or full of trickery. And that sounds like the enemy, doesn't it? But the Greek word for this is actually methodos. I think it comes from like the word method is, I think, where that comes from. But it means to operate with a road or a single avenue. So we put this together, and here's the deal. The devil doesn't have anything new. You know what? He's not a creator. He's an imitator. You know, matter of fact, he's a pervert. Say the devil's a perv. See, he is a perv. Amen? He just perverts and he twists the things of God. He can't come up with anything new, but he just keeps coming with the same old tactics over and over and over, and he keeps pushing that same button over and over. Amen? And it's that one road, and all roads, you know, a road is going to lead somewhere. Where does that road lead? Straight into your mind. That's where he's trying to attack. That's where the battlefield is at. Joyce Meyer wrote a great book. It was one of the first books I read when I got saved. It's called Battlefield of the Mind, and it's powerful. It's awesome. She talks about, you know, how to do the very thing that we're doing here, and it's great. So if you have battles, which is 100 out of 100 of us, it's a great book to read and to walk through this. Amen? So again, we already know what the objective is. The destination or the main road that Satan is trying to attack us through is through our mind. Because if he can control the mind, he can control our emotions, and he can control our destiny. Amen? But I've got good news. It's the same way for God. You get God's word in you, he controls your mind, you build that fortress in there, you walk in truth, and you've got a better destiny. Amen? The third word we need to learn is the word devices. And if you turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, I want to set this up. Paul here is talking about forgiveness. So he's writing to the church at Corinth, and obviously there was somebody in the church that had maybe done something foolish or whatever, so everybody was upset with this guy, and Paul was basically saying, hey, you need to forgive this guy, okay? We need to walk together in unity. He goes, I'm going to forgive him, and you need to forgive him too, because forgiveness is a big thing. And he said, you know, basically this, we need to forgive him. Verse 11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So let's talk about unforgiveness here for a moment. If they had unforgiveness, it's implying if there was unforgiveness that Satan would get an advantage over us. And because, again, that's one of his devices and one of his ways that he comes against us. You know, I think about the story of Judas Iscariot. You know, when you read the scriptures and it's Mary and she's taking a jug of perfume that says it's about 12 ounces. It was worth like a year's wages. And she's anointing Jesus with that perfume. And now Judas is standing back and he's watching that. And the Bible says clearly in there, it says that Satan was a thief, that he was robbing. So see, Satan had already penetrated his mind, right? He's with Jesus, but he had already penetrated his mind. And for some reason, Satan, he's holding, you know, the money bag. He's the treasurer, and he's justified in his mind that, hey, I'm owed some of this. You know what? Jesus doesn't really, you know, recognize me, and so, you know, I need a little extra for myself, and that's how it works. He starts justifying, you know, the sin that he was in. So it says, Judas is watching, he's a thief, he's over here watching this, he's watching Mary anoint Jesus' feet, and what does he say? He says, you know, this is foolish. Why did you take a year's wages, you know, and just take and basically dump that out on the ground? That was wasteful. We could have taken that, and we could have given it to the poor. And what did Jesus say? He said, leave her alone. He corrected him. He said, leave her alone. He said, the poor will always be with you, but I'm only going to be with you for a short time. So imagine this picture. You've got Judas over here, who's a thief. So Satan's already entered his mind, and now we have Jesus over here who's correcting him. Right? So imagine that. He's being corrected, and when your heart's wrong, when Satan's already entered your mind and you've got, you know, these barriers in there, how does he receive that correction? Not well. Amen? And listen to this. An offended heart is the breeding ground for deception. You think about that. He was offended, and that was the breeding ground. Satan just had a heyday with him. There was no way, you know, walking along and being one of the disciples that he ever would have dreamed that he would have been the one that was going to deceive Jesus and send Jesus to the cross, amen, and have him murdered. That was not in him. That was not his original plan. But he became a thief because rocks over it. You're owed this. And it penetrated his mind and it got in there. He meditated on it, amen, and that's who he became, amen. So this word Before we get into the word devices, let's look at the word advantage. It means to outwit, to trick, to take advantage of someone through some sinister or sneaky means. Doesn't that sound like our enemy? And again, the enemy, he wants to take our heads off. Once you're born again, he has no access to your spirit anymore. But he wants to ruin your testimony, just like he ruined Judas's testimony. That's what he wants to do. He would like nothing better. Why do you think it's so highlighted in the news when a minister falls, when a minister falls into some sort of temptation and so forth? And pay attention. When Pastor Mike, if he ever talks about that, it's always in a position of humility. Yeah, I heard about so-and-so, but man, you know, let's pray for him. Let's pray for his family, because he recognizes that if that can happen to that person, it can happen to us as well. Amen? And so that's why we're recognizing what's going on here and looking at the devil's playbook. So this word devices, it means mind games or a mind that is confused, the inability to think straight or correctly. So he's throwing rocks. Let's set this up, right? He's throwing rocks. He's throwing accusations and lies and slander. He's hurling them at us over and over and over. And he's operating as the devil. That's the diabolos, until he finally penetrates the mind and he pierces it all the way through, because his purpose is to fill our minds with lies and false accusations. And you get to a point where you can no longer even think straight. Amen? And then the mind becomes so confused, and I've been there before, where my mind is so confused, you know, through experiences we've had in our life, and it's just so confused, you don't know which way is up and which way is down. But I'm telling you, that's the time to get the tool book out, or, you know, the manual out again. Get in this word, pray in the spirit, lock arms with other believers, do the things that you know to do to be able to come through there, amen? Because here's what it leads us to. It leads us to strongholds. And this is where the enemy's trying to take us to. You see, there's a path. God has a plan for your life, but the enemy has a plan for your life as well. Thank goodness God's plan supersedes the enemy's plan every day of the week, but we've got to do something about it. We've got to intentionally be in the Word of God to learn what it says about us. This word stronghold in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, if you'd turn there, Paul talks about exactly what a stronghold is. He said this, chapter 10, verse 3 through 5, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," they're not worldly. You know, we can't use worldly weapons. That's why, you know, nothing wrong with going and talking to somebody to help work through something, a counselor or whatever. But again, that's worldly weapons. You can't defeat a spiritual enemy with worldly weapons. Amen? But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There's that word. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So we're going to talk about the word stronghold, and really imaginations is tied in there as well. So what is a stronghold? It's simply a fortress or a prison. So again, the devil, he's penetrated the mind now. You begin to think wrongly. You begin to believe wrongly. So you begin to move in the wrong direction here. You've believed a lie, and because you've believed that lie, your mind, your actions are going to follow your most dominant thoughts, and that's just how it works. And this roadway is paved, and then the devil begins to build a stronghold in your mind, and it's a fortress, amen? So what's a fortress? It's simply a castle with large walls that it's built around you and is designed to keep people and things out, amen? The strongholds in our minds, they simply imprison us. You're behind bars, and here's the thing about prison. You know, you can't see them, but they're there. You can see out, you can see to freedom, but you don't know how to get there. Amen? That's a lot of addicts. Man, they're in prison. They can see out, they see where it is that they want to go, but they don't know how to get there. Because we've got to show them the spiritual weapons that they've got, where they can overcome this and they can get out of this prison. Amen? And you might be in prison here this morning. It might be a prison of, of your health where you're sitting here going, geez, how am I ever going to lose weight? And then you ask those questions and, well, you're never going to lose weight because you always fail at diets and you got a slow metabolism and just these subconscious thoughts just come over and over and over. You know, how am I going to turn my financial situation around? You know, you're never going to turn it around because it's so bad, there's no way that you're going to get out of debt. It's never going to happen for you. Again, you listen to those lies and you just repeat those lies over and over and over. And again, it's a prison that you live in. How's my marriage going to be restored? Well, it's never going to be restored. They're never going to change. And on and on and on. And again, you're in this prison. And nobody can see it, but you know what's there. Amen. And I've been there before. You know, I asked my son, Nick, my middle guy, my 14-year-old, I asked if I could share this story, and he said it was okay. You know, Nick's been gifted. He's just got a compassionate heart. Like when we lived a couple houses ago when we were in town, and when he was just a little guy, we'd be like, where's Nick at? And he'd be always at like the older people's homes in the block, and he'd be visiting with them. He's just got this kind, compassionate spirit, and that is a gift from God. Amen. However, with school, you know, he was battling some things like anxiety and so forth. And it was awesome because he got set free from the anxiety thing back at camp this year. So that was by the grace of God. Amen. However, he was struggling in school and we got some messages from the teachers. And I sat down with Nick and I was like, hey, buddy, what's going on here? And, you know, after uncovering it for a while, finally he said, he goes, I'm just stupid. I don't get it. I'm stupid, you know, and using those word choices. And as parents, what do we want to do? No, you're not stupid. You're smart. But see, he's in a prison. You see? And when somebody's in a prison, you can tell them the way out, but they see it. They say, yeah, I know, I agree with you, but they just don't know how to get out on their own. Amen? Because it's a spiritual thing. Amen? And so what did we do? We uncovered it. And I just said, Nick, did your teachers pull you in and say that you were stupid? No, that didn't happen. You know, did one of your buddies at school tell you were stupid? No, that didn't happen. Did mom or dad ever imply that you were stupid? You know, kind of went through the things, and he said, no, that never happened. I said, well, where do you think that came from? And so it's allowing him to uncover, you know, it came from the enemy. It came from the devil. It was a lie from the pit of hell because it didn't line up with this word. But again, we believe that lie because the devil gets a hold of our mind, he gets a hold of our emotions, and then he affects our destiny. So then Nick's sitting in school believing that he's stupid and that he can't learn this stuff. And I'll tell you how we overcame it here at the end. But that's a stronghold. Does that make sense? And you get to choose which voice you listen to. You listen to the voice of God or you listen to the voice of the enemy. It's your choice. Amen? The fifth word we need to learn here is the word oppression. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says this. And the musicians, if you want to go ahead and come forward as we wrap this up. Acts 10:38, it says this. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all, here it is, who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So this word oppression, it's the fifth word that we need to learn of the devil's playbook. Oppression means to be tyrannized over by a wicked king. So you got to think about this. If he's hurled rocks at you, accusations, they've penetrated your mind, now they've built a stronghold up in your mind, and in that fortress, a king lives behind those walls, right? And see, the enemy, Satan, he wants to be king of your mind because he wants to take you off track. He doesn't want you to be out and sharing the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wants you to be thinking that you're inadequate and then that you're lesser than and that this is just as good as everything's going to get and you just have to dumb your life down and just this is the way it is. It's been this way for your family and grandma and great-grandma and all those people, so this is how it is for you. And you end up accepting that, amen? And that stronghold leads to oppression. Where again, this is just how I am. Amen? Tells you now how much money you're going to make, where you're going to live, where you're not going to live. It's telling you how worthless you really are. All this stuff. It's not God. Amen? It's this devil's playbook. And you just look at it step by step by step. Diabolos. Repeatedly throwing something to penetrate through. The wiles. Heading down that road. He's got one thing that he does, and he's trying to attack your mind over and over and over. And here's the crazy thing. You know, you get victory over whatever area it is that you battle with. I have areas that I always say the devil knows your candy. And it's kind of crazy because when you get victory, you kind of start to rest. You kind of start to get on cruise control, right? But he comes back around just when you're at your weakest point, and he starts poking those same buttons. He doesn't have any new tricks. He's going to come back around with the same things, but that's where we need to recognize that. Amen? Recognize where he's coming from. This word devices, you know, he wants to confuse our mind, and then he wants to deliver and bring that stronghold, that prison that's in your mind, so ultimately he can oppress us, so he can rule us, dominate us, and manipulate our lives. And you look at that process. You know, you look at adultery. You don't just slip and trip and fall and find yourself in the sack with somebody other than your spouse. It's a process. You know, you're at work and you're talking to somebody, and then the flirting starts, and then this and then that, and then you go to coffee, and when you look back, when you fall into sin, you look back over all this time, it's this process. Amen. Depression. You know, I had a friend of mine that I called and talked to yesterday and was just asking open-ended questions about this. And they said, you know, when they were in high school, they were an athlete. And they got in a car accident, so their senior year, they weren't able to participate in sports, and that was what they loved to do. And so being out there, you know, while everybody else is participating and playing, you know, and then it's you know, kind of the poor me, like, right? Like, I'm not able to be doing what it is that I want to do, ended up slipping into depression. Go to the doctors, you know, get diagnosed as being depressed, get on some medication. Now it's this 12-year torment. And again, I'm not against doctors or doing whatever you need to do, but it's not, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You cannot solve a spiritual problem with natural means. That's what I'm talking about. Amen? But the good news is after 12 years, started coming to church here, got born again, was out one morning praying in the Spirit, and they said that it was something just broken there. And the joy of the Lord hit them. And like for 15 minutes, we're just out there laughing. And it was, again, that stronghold was broken. No more medication, no more depression, moving forward. That's how the whole thing works. Amen? Amen. So how do we overcome these attacks? First of all, it's recognizing that we've believed a lie. You know, we're going to pray here at the end, but it's just asking the Holy Spirit, and I hope, you know, as I've been speaking here this morning, that the Holy Spirit's been ministering to you and performing some surgery on areas of your life that you know they're not healthy. They're not lining up with the Word of God. That doesn't mean anything is wrong with you. You're not broken. You're not beyond repair. God can fix anything. He can take a scrambled mind and he can make it clear. Amen? Just like he did with my friend with the depression. And I'll finish up with Nick's story here in a moment. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, this is how we overcome it. It says, we cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And we bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay, so every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. So you have the Word of God, you have truth that God speaks to you through his Word. So he says, you're the healed of the Lord. Another thought comes and says, you're not going to get healed. That thought has exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Does that make sense? So here we have what God says, and then we have the lie, the deception over here. God says you're righteous, that you're forgiven, that you're accepted in the beloved. This thought over here says nobody's ever going to accept you. You can't come to God. You're filthy. He's not going to forgive you. It's not going to work that way. This thought over here says you've got a good spouse. That spouse was brought from you, straight from the Lord to you. Amen. This one over here says you got a miserable marriage. Which one are you going to focus on? Right. Amen? This thought says you've got hope. You've got a future. God's got a destiny for you. This one says you don't have any hope. Your best days are behind you. This thought over here continues to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is what God says. Amen? And that's what we have to hold on to. And so what do? You bring it into captivity. And how do we bring it into captivity? It's just like my son Nick. We uncovered what was going on and prayed with him about this. And hey, first of all, do you wanna have victory over this? Yes, I do. Okay, great. So we got in the Word of God. What's the Word say? Hebrews chapter 4, it says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So the sword of the Spirit goes in, and it can divide. You can't divide joints from marrow. Maybe nowadays they can with technology. But for sure, when the Word of God was put together, that wasn't a possibility. but the Word of God can. He says he's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So when this word goes in, and that's how we take it captive. Imagine a Roman soldier having a really sharp sword, okay? And if I take that soldier captive, I take that thought captive, I have him put his hands up, and then imagine he's standing here in front of me with his hands up, and I'm taking that sword, and if he doesn't move the direction I want him to move, I'm gonna gut him. I'm gonna pierce it all the way through. And that's how it is with Satan. When he brings those thoughts against us, you take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and you put it against that thought, you take that thought captive, and you gut it. Amen? But you gotta continue gutting it because it's putting in the Word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. It's not just one time. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:11, it says, we labor to enter into God's rest. Doesn't that sound like an oxymoron? Like we go up to go down almost, right? We work to enter into God's rest. The work is this stuff. You know, it's taking that thought captive. It's spending time in the Word of God, spending time in prayer, spending time praying in the Holy Ghost, coming to church. That's the work so that then we can enter into God's rest and we can rest in His promise that He's given us. We can rest in this truth, but it takes work and it takes discipline to get there. And you never arrive. It will be forever that process. You go from faith to faith, glory to glory, level to level to level. Amen? Amen. So the great news is this, is you can locate where you're at in that playbook, and then you correct it. You get in the Word of God, you ask the Holy Spirit, hey, you know, where did I get off? How can I correct this thing? Amen?
Thank you for listening to today's message. We'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning services at 8:30 and 10:30. We also have a midweek service on Wednesday nights from 7 to 8. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day.